Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host Tom Haynes, and last week I talked about probably the hardest thing to get past at the academy, and that is your own nerves. And talked a little bit about how you can try to get as confident as you can going into your evals, and that will help with nerves as much as you can help with nerves. And I talked about how there's no real way at any point in the academy to simulate what it's going to be like when you walk in and do your evals, and especially your non-radar evals, because you haven't had that experience up until then. And the radar evals will be a little bit better and a little bit worse. A little bit better in that you've been through that eval process before, but a little bit worse because there's 66 points in 2 days. And so, like I said, there's no real way to simulate what it's going to be like on those three eval days that you have in en route, one non-radar, two radar. And I tried to talk a little bit last week about how you can help yourself get to a point where the nerves are not quite as bad. And that, in a word, is just practice and practice and practice. And this week I wanted to kind of build on that, if you'll let me. And take that a little bit further, because the academy, from day one of non-radar through day 59 of radar, is a continuous building process. And the FAA takes you from that day one to day 59 in a very deliberate way. They build and they build and they build. Each lesson builds on the ones that came before it. And it is a fairly logical progression. I say fairly because there are some lessons that are in there that may not do you a whole lot of good as far as getting through the academy and then later on being a controller at your first facility. But so when I say it takes practice, it takes continuous practice. From day one, it takes practice. You have to practice every day what your instructor went over in the class. In the first couple of days, there's not a whole lot of that that you can practice. And I understand that. But each day, and let's go ahead and just break this down into each day. Each day, you're responsible to go over what was talked about in class that day. Make sure that you have a fairly firm grasp on what was talked about that day. If there's anything that you're unsure about, write it down. Talk to your classmates. See if they have an answer for your question. And if they don't, well, then they have the question as well. And so you have to go in and start the next day with those questions about the day before. You cannot let questions build up while you're at the academy. You just can't let it happen. Okay, so it's one of the reasons why I made these trackers for non-radar and radar. Just to kind of give you an idea of what you need to be practicing and what you need to be learning each and every day. And it just kind of gives you a way to just, I mean, that's why they're called trackers. It gives you a way to track that you're doing it, because that is the secret. You have to each day practice what you went over that day, what you went over the day before, and it gets imperative to do that when you get into the labs, both non-radar and radar, because the FAA uses the labs and the scenarios to build on each other, not just in complexity, not just in number of airplanes, just not just in number of departures or arrivals, or they do that, but they also are going to show you specific things that they want you to learn. And if you're not putting in the time each and every day to go over those things and to practice those things, you're going to lose them, and they won't be there when you need them. And a lot of students feel like non-radar is a little more difficult because you are not looking at airplanes. But in a way, you are. You don't have to imagine where these airplanes are. You kind of have to visualize what their routes look like, which is why learning the map is so important, and why I still suggest you do that before you get to Oklahoma City, not after. So you have to envision what the aircraft are doing, what their route of flight is, but everything you need is on the strip. You have what altitude they're at. You have when they're estimated to fix. You have what you have told them to do as far as crossing restrictions or anything like that. And so it's not a question of trying to picture exactly what all these airplanes are doing. It's just taking the information on the strips and realizing what an airplane is doing and how that relates to the airplane that you're working. And that's where using the what process, as far as identifying where an aircraft is, if there's holding involved in that bay that's going to affect that airplane, if there's any airspace in that bay that's going to affect that airplane, and then if there's any traffic, and you determine traffic by taking the altitude of the airplane that you're working, that you're trying to come up with a clearance for, You take the altitude they're starting at, the altitude they're going to. Any airplane in between those two altitudes is traffic until you decide they're not. And the only way you decide they're not is if they're 10 minutes and if it's a good 10 minutes. Aside from that, they're traffic. Treat them as such. And so in a lot of ways, and I know for the instructors, I can tell you this. The instructors look at non-radar as being very black and white, very structured. There is one real answer to every question that the FAA asks in those problems. Whereas in the radar problems, some students, when given a conflict, will climb one of the airplanes. Some students will climb the other airplane. Some students will descend one airplane. Some students will descend the other airplane. That's four different answers for one set of airplanes that are traffic for each other. And so you go over that for 40 minutes. There are an amazing number of different ways of solving a radar problem. Whereas there's only one or two, maybe, for non-radar. And yet most students would rather run radar problems than non-radar problems. Okay, so how do you get to the point where on day 58, day 59, your nerves are not debilitating for you? Well, it means on day one, you study what you're supposed to on day one. Day two, you study what you're supposed to on day two. You go over what you did on day one. Day three, you do the same. Day four, you do the same. And you keep doing that every day. The first 28 days. Then you have non-radar evals. Day 29. And you find out how good or how well you did in those first 5.5, almost 6 weeks. And then you get into radar. And it all starts again. You have day one of radar. Radar goes quick. Classroom goes quick. You start, and then you're in the lab 2 weeks later. You have more time in the lab. But time starts to go by fairly quickly. And one of the keys also for radar is the same as it was in non-radar. You have to do those tasks each and every day to get better each and every day, to grow each and every day. If you do that to the best of your ability, then when day 58 comes along, you'll be as close to ready as you can be. And that's really all you can ask. But it takes a lot of work to get to that point. It takes a lot of work to get to that point. And I guess I'm hashing this again because having been there for the 5 years that I was, and having watched probably a couple of hundred classes come through and several thousand students come through, and still only watch about 70% at most while I was there pass. And as I've said before on this podcast, there were a couple of classes we came oh so close to 100% on. Oh, so close. But never quite got there for any of my classes. But I've seen students struggle. I've seen students who didn't struggle. I've seen students who were doing exceptionally well until those last 2 days. And then something happened, and I still don't know what. To this day, I don't know what. And that's kind of what drives this. Because I want to do everything that I can to make sure that I impress upon those of you who are at the academy, those of you who are going to the academy. If you're at the academy and you're struggling, just resolve that from today on, you are going to do everything in your power, everything that you can. You're going to sacrifice everything else that you can sacrifice in your life to become the best air traffic controller you can while you're at the academy. And that takes a lot of work. It is not easy. It is not easy at all. And I guess why I keep talking about it is because I just, some days I have to stay away from the Discord chat because I see students asking questions that really, 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 really don't matter. And I see a lot of it's hard to describe. It's really, truly hard to describe. But I guess what I want for each and every one of you is better than where you may be at. And that goes for you guys that are in the high 90s. Strive for better. If you're in the high 80s, strive for better. Become the best, the absolute best that you can be over the 12 weeks that you're in Oklahoma City and going through the En route program. Become the best you can be in those 10 weeks in the terminal program or the tower program. Become the best that you can be. Do not settle for anything less than that. Because what I want for each and every one of you that are going through the academy is at the end, no matter what the result is, I want you to feel like you gave it your best. Now, when I went through, and I've told these stories many times, and I'm not going to go into details again, but even after I passed, I looked back initially, and was fairly upset with myself because I didn't feel like I had given it the best shot that I could. Now, looking back on it 36 years, I can see that things happen for a reason. And I do believe that things happen for a reason. And I believe that there's a reason that I didn't go straight from the academy to an en route center. I went through the towers. But you don't have that option these days. You're either en route or tower. So whichever one of those you are, your goal is to become the best that you can be. And the only way to do that is to decide and make the choice that that is what you want. And then decide and make the choice that you're going to do whatever it takes as far as practice, as far as time spent studying. You're going to do whatever it takes to get to that point of excellence. Not the point of passing, the point of excellence. And the reason I say you have to make that decision and you have to make that choice is because you're going to get knocked down. Those problems are going to smack you upside the head. They're going to kick you in the head. They don't care. That's what the problems are there for. What you have to decide is that whether it kicks you in the head once or twice or not doesn't matter to you, because you have decided that you are going to do whatever it takes to become the best that you can be. And that is a daily decision that you have to make. And you have to make that decision and make that decision and make that decision every single day. Every single scenario that you run. It's not that you're trying to be perfect in your practice scenarios. In class, but that you're still striving for that. And I've had students that kind of, I'll just say it, I think they blew off the practice scenarios. And then I had the lead. This was my first class as an A lead. I had a student that I was really concerned about because I worked with him on the last day before evals. And I just wasn't sure how he was going to do. And then I'm in one of the radar labs while that class is doing their evals. And the lead comes up to me and says, so-and-so got 100 on his first run. And I nearly fell out of my chair. But that's not the normal way to do it. Now, I will say, there are only 3 days. If you get perfect runs on 3 days, please let it be the day of non-radar evals and then the 2 days of radar evals. Get them on those. Don't worry about being perfect in practice. Please, don't worry about being perfect in practice. Strive to get better. Strive to learn from each of the practice scenarios, both non-radar and radar, because you will learn from whatever mistakes you make. But understand that becoming excellent at the academy is a process. I used to always tell my classes, there's a reason you do not eval on day 7. You are not ready. There's a reason you don't do the radar evals on day 40. You are not ready. And that's a good thing. They give you time to become ready. But that time to become ready only works if you actually do the work. And this is not a competition between you and your classmates. It should be something that you, as a class, decide that you, as a class, are going to do whatever it takes to ensure that all of you become as good as you can be. Classes like that excel. Classes that splinter off and only worry about two or three, or maybe only worry about me, don't do as well. Okay, so going back to the original part of this, last week we talked about nerves, talked about one of the only things that you can do to combat nerves is to practice, not just in non-radar, in radar, not just before tabletop, but before you get in the simulator. You have to practice, and you have to practice, and you have to practice. And that is so much more important, I think, from everything that I have seen classes go through. Practicing together as a class is more important in radar than it ever was in non-radar. And it is so important in non-radar. But if you practice together as a class, day after day after day after day, you will get better. Everyone in the class will get better. And when everyone in the class gets better, amazing things start to happen. That's why I keep saying it so much. But that is all just a day after day after day. You'll be working on things on day 14 of non-radar that you didn't even know existed on day 1. You'll be so far advanced halfway through the radar scenarios compared to where you were on day 1 of radar. You're not even the same person. And that's a very good thing. So you have to, day after day after day, commit to doing as much as you can on that day to get better and to become the best you can be. And like I said, if you do that, then you will give yourself, you will give your classmates, you will give everyone around you the best possibility of passing. The best possibility, not just of passing, but of doing incredibly well. Your goal as a class, whether it's Tower, Enroute, Tracon, doesn't matter. Your goal as a class is to have the FAA come up to you after you finish your evals, when you have a full classroom, and they look at you and they go, how did you do it? Not just how did you pass everyone in the class. How did everyone in the class do so well? What was your secret? How did you do it? That is your goal as a class. That is something that you as a class have to decide while you're in basics. If you could decide it before you get to Oklahoma City, do that. But at the very latest, decide that you will accept nothing but exceptional from every person in the class. And you as a class will decide that you will do whatever it takes to ensure that everyone in that class becomes exceptional. Do that. Be that class that the FAA holds up as an example to every other class. This class did something amazing. This class did something that had never been done before. Don't just accept as a class that 6 out of 10 of you are going to pass and 4 out of 10 of you are not. Don't accept that. Just don't accept it. Don't accept it, and then work every single day to ensure that you don't have to accept that. But it takes the commitment every day that you're at the academy. You have to strive for excellence that day. You can't do anything about the day before. You can't do anything about tomorrow. That day, do the little things it takes to get the big things accomplished. And I think that's it for this week. Thank you all so much again for listening, for letting me have this soapbox that I get to stand on once a week. I hope it continues to help. Those of you who are at the academy, continue to give it your best shot each and every day. It's all about the small things that you do each and every day to get better. But thank you. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging in there with me. And again, please don't feel like you have to go through this journey alone. Get as many people around you as you can. And whatever I can do to help, let me know. More than willing to help. So, you can text me. My phone number, 817-233-8199. Niner. You can email me at Tom Haynes, that's TOMHANES, at SideBySideATC.com. Or you can go to the website, SideBySideATC.com. You can sign up to get emails there. As several of you have found out, I don't send a bunch of emails. I basically will respond to what you want. Okay? So, until next week, like I said, don't try and do this alone. Grab people that you know. Grab people that you love. And let them go through it with you. And if you need help, let me know. I'll be here. And we can all go through it side by side. Until next week, bye.